The following is a production of Central Christian Center and Pastor Hank DeLott.
I want to read you a verse out of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. Whatever is true, I'm reading it out of the Amplified. Whatever is true, whatever is honest, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is kind, if there be any virtue, if there be anything worthy of praise, think on these things. Holy Spirit, clear my mind now. Use me to say something today that'll stir and help all these that have come to hear. We thank you for that, Lord. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, someday, hi, Hosea, man, he's bald back from college, and man, you look bigger since you've been gone to college for the 2 weeks, so praise the Lord. I'm glad you're here, buddy. I'm just messing with you, but, you know, sometimes you have messages and you teach, and sometimes you get a little preachy, but sometimes, I don't know what others do, but sometimes I just want to talk to you as a pastor. So I just want to talk to you as your pastor today, and whatever I say that you can use to stimulate yourself or to help yourself, use it, and whatever I say that doesn't really apply to you, then don't worry about that part, okay? But as I read this verse, I just got one. Do you ever just stop and think about what you're thinking about? See, Paul says here, what he's saying in this verse is, fix your mind. Fix your mind. How many think your mind needs fixing? Well, that's kind of what I'm talking about, but I'm talking about fix it, focus it. You know, if your thoughts, if you're not careful, your thoughts will lead you into all kinds of problems. Matter of fact, let me change that just a little bit. Most, if not all, of your problems come from what you've been thinking. Now, it's important to think before you act. And our actions usually will follow our thinking. But Paul says something here. He says it's important here. He said, if you concentrate on the things that are true, the things that are worthy of reverence, the things that are honorable, just, pure, lovely, the things that are kind and gracious, the things that are virtuous, the things that are worthy of praise. If you'll think on those things, then God will begin and He will be able to develop His character in you. Does that make sense? We are all trying to, it's God's plan according to Romans 8 that it was predestined that we all be conformed into the image of Jesus. It's impossible for that to happen in our lives if we don't think right. Think right. Everybody say something with me. Lord, fix my mind. You see, what you think about will determine the direction of your life. But let me add something to that. What you think about will also determine the quality of your life. Now, as I say this, somebody's going to think, he's just speaking right to me. Well, I am. But the truth is, this message applies to every one of us. Because we all need some fixing. Huh? We all need to give what we're thinking some attention. You know, people who think positive, who think uplifting thoughts, they're happier, they're healthier, they live longer. If you think positive, good thoughts, you'll have less stress in your life, less worry, you'll be more vibrant, you'll sleep better at night. How many ever had some of those nights you couldn't sleep? What was keeping you awake? That's 6 inches between your ears. Huh? You with me? So now I want to talk more about just the thoughts than just the thoughts we think, because I want to talk about, I want you to begin to think about the way you think. The way we think is a habit. You form your own habits. And the way you think is a habit. If you think positive and you think good things, it's because you got in a habit of doing that. If you're worried all the time, if you're stressing all the time, if you're all in confusion, it's you've gotten in a habit of thinking that way. And habits, you don't just change habits by listening to a message. But you can decide something today. You can make a choice. You can say, Holy Spirit, I'm going to let you change my stinking thinking. Huh? Now, I don't know about you, but a phrase I heard years ago applies to me, but some of us need a checkup from the neck up. Huh? So, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you give me one. And you ask for whatever you want, but I want him to be big in my life. Paul tells us here to think on good things. Think on things that are true. Think on things that are noble. Think on things that are lovely. You know, you can think about a lie. You can think about an untruth long enough until you believe it's the truth. Hmm? Give you an example. Some of you have been thinking how sorry you are. How unworthy you are. You see, from the time we're little, we get these thoughts coming in, and we'll be thinking how nobody cares about us. We'll be thinking about how ugly we are. We'll think about how we don't fit in. We'll think about all this stuff. And once you begin to think in a direction, everything that happens around you begins to support what you've been thinking. Can I tell you something? It's a setup. Huh? It's a setup. It's not God setting it up either. It's your enemy. And he can't do anything in your life, but he can get you to think about it long enough to where you do it. Paul says, think on these things. Fix your mind on these things. See, you can get in a habit of worrying. You can get a habit of just worrying and being stressed out about everything. Something can happen to you in the physical, in your body, and then you can get in the habit of thinking and beginning to look for every symptom and everything that's going to happen. And every time you hear about a disease or every time you hear about something, that thing will just magnify in your mind and the voices will start telling you, yeah, you got that. Our minds. Fix your mind. If you fix your mind on something, it closes the door to all the other things. Huh? Now that can be bad or that can be good. That can be bad. If you're thinking on negative things, if you're thinking on things that are going wrong, if you're thinking on that, how many ever knew somebody? You've never been this way, but you knew somebody and they were just hard-headed. How many ever knew somebody that, or had somebody tell you, my mind's made up? I got a friend, and he's in a different area in, when it comes to politics than I am. And when I call him, we'll talk the real fuzzy stuff for a little bit, and you know him too, Kenny. But we'll talk the little fuzzy stuff for a little bit, and then he'll start asking these questions. He'll start saying, "Well, what do you think about this?" And, "Well, what do you think about old Trump here?" And, "What do you think about that?" And so this happened not long back, and I just stopped and I said, "Hey," and I called his name, and I said, "You know what?" I said, "Nothing I say is going to change your mind. And nothing you say is going to change my mind. So let's just talk about Jesus for a while. Let's just find something good to talk about. Because I like you, and you're a good guy. And you like me. And so instead of us getting each other mad here, why don't we just find something good to think and talk about? If your mind's made up, I love it when people come to me for counsel and the first thing out of their mouth is, "God told me this." I usually just shut up. I just go, "Well, okay. If God's told you, there's no need for me to say nothing." Huh? What am I going to say, something against God? If your mind's made up, how many know a lot of the things all of us think that God told us, He didn't really told us? Huh? And I'm trying to learn the difference. How about you? Huh? If your mind's made up on something, you close the door to everything else. And if that's bad, if you think everything's going bad and everything's going wrong and they'll never listen to me and they'll never be this and it'll never be that and never, then you've closed your mind to all other possibilities. But if you think about good things, if you think about how good God is, and it's impossible, everything's possible with Him, and He's always working in my behalf, and He's always doing good things for me, and if you begin to fix your mind on those things, it'll close the door to all those other voices. And you have to do it. And if you don't, you're the one that'll suffer. When you're full of wrong thoughts, you're miserable. Joyce Meyer said something once. I'll never forget it. She said, "Hurting people hurt people." Let me add something to that. Miserable people make everybody around them miserable. Huh? Now don't raise your hand, because all your friends will think you're talking about them. But how many ever, when somebody came, you thought, "Oh no, here they come." You knew what you were going to hear wasn't positive. You knew what you were about to hear wasn't going to edify you and wasn't going to lift you up. And you thought, "Oh no, hope they didn't see me." Now I told you don't raise your hand, because then all your friends will think you're talking about them. If you're thinking the wrong things, you'll be miserable. And you'll make everybody miserable around you. All I'm saying today is, and you don't believe it, I'm probably halfway done already, but all I'm saying is, we need to take an inventory on a regular basis. We need to do that checkup from the neck up. We need to ask ourselves, what have I been thinking about? Start examining our life, because you can tell what you've been saying and what you've been acting out. You can tell that by the way you're acting. And even when you don't know it, everybody else around you does know it. And so be a good idea just for us to start asking ourselves, just taking an inventory. What am I thinking about? I want to examine some of this stuff. You know, I've even got to the point to where when I have this bad feeling come in here and I'm irritated or something, I stop and I'll go, hold it. What was I thinking about that started this? Because usually you think about something, a little thought, and it just passes real fast, and then all of a sudden you're thinking, you're adding other thoughts on top of it, and after a while you're all upset and you're all irritated and you're all confused. You're all worked up. And you don't even know what started it. So I'm just learning, going, hold it. When I snap at Pam or I snap at somebody or I say something, I go, hold it, wait. I tell myself, I say, hold it, what's making you think that way? Now, I don't know about you, I don't get away with snapping at her very much, but, and I hope you don't get away with it with your partner either. But think about what you're thinking about. See, the battlefield is in your mind. And let me say something. Some of y'all that are seeking God and you're called and you're wanting Him to do something, let me tell you a book you ought to read. And I know there's all kinds of books out there, but you ought to get Joyce Meyer's Battlefield of the Mind. And many of you have it on your shelf. It's been sitting there for 10, 15 years. But you need to get that book and just read it again. And if you don't have it, get it. It'll help. The battlefield is in our mind. That's how the enemy sets us up. That's how he set Eve up. That's how he got into this thing in the first place. You know, I was thinking about this early this morning, and I thought, you know, we kind of read that scripture, and the serpent came to Eve and said, eat that fruit, and she said, oh, no, we're not supposed to, and he said, oh, yeah, you can, and so she said, okay, let's eat it, and we think that thing happened in about 15 minutes, and maybe it did. I don't know, I wasn't there. But I got to thinking, what if he showed up one day and he said, boy, that old fruit over there looks good. You ought to eat it. And she kind of thought about it a little bit and thought, no, we're not supposed to eat that. And then he showed up a day or two later and said, you know, boy, that looks so juicy. I mean, that looks so profitable. Why don't you? And she probably thought about it. I don't know, maybe this took weeks and weeks and months. I don't know. And then all of a sudden, one day he shows up and he says, yeah, if you eat it, you'll be just like God. Now, I wasn't there, so I don't know, but I would imagine he worked the same way. He worked to get into this earth the same way he works to get into your life. By getting you to think a wrong thought about yourself, about somebody, about your job, about your church, about your friend, about your husband, about your wife. A little thought, and you just kind of push it away, but then a little while later, there's another thought that comes, and then a few days later, there's another thought that comes, and now, after a certain period of time, now we're building a case. And after we move a direction, then everything that begins to happen around us supports that idea. Confirms it to us. I've had people tell me that God told them to leave the church here and go somewhere. Now I know maybe that happened sometime, but I know a family that they left every time, and I've followed their pattern, and every time they're in a church and things start going bad, God's telling them again it's time to leave. And so they've spent their whole life going from church to church to church to church because God's telling them, God isn't telling you to leave. I'm sorry. The devil's trying to support his case, and that's what happened with them. Every time things get a little rough, maybe God wants you to stay in one place long enough so he can fix some of those problems in your life. You can't fix them if you keep running every time they expose themselves to you. Phew, I didn't plan on all this, but I asked the Holy Spirit to tell me what we needed to talk about, but it takes just as much energy to think a bad thought as it does a good thought. So why don't you just think a good thought? Huh? I've caught myself lately starting to go down these rabbit trails and starting to go, hold it. The last time I gave in to that, I ended up down here somewhere depressed and discouraged. And I just say, hold it, nope, I'm not going there this time. And I start thinking something else. And it isn't very long, I forgot that even happened. Because we get in a habit of thinking right. We get in a habit of thinking positive. Well, and the enemy comes in and he does all this in our life, okay? And we know that. He'll get you to thinking that your problem is something other than it is. He'll get us to thinking that our problem is because of our circumstances out here, but the truth is the problem is in here and in here. Because you see, it says, Bible says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is an inside job. And you need to quit blaming everything that happens around you and everyone around you because things aren't going right. It's not the outside job that's getting it done. It's the inside job. And he likes to trick us. Huh? He likes to make us think that our husband or our wife's the problem, or our kids are the problem, or our friends are the problem, or our pastor's the problem. Now, I know none of y'all think that, but it doesn't stop. And pretty soon, the only one in the world that's right is you. That ought to tell you something. That's scary. Huh? If I get to the place and I'm thinking I'm the only one right, I'm going, whoa, Lord, this world's in a lot of trouble. Well, you can smile. Just smile and nobody will know that any of this is getting you. Because it's just getting the fire out of me. You know why I'm smiling so big? You're not unhappy because your husband or wife does something or because your kid done something. You're unhappy because something inside of you needs to be fixed, and it starts with your thoughts. You need to start thinking different. And it just never ceases to amaze me. A young guy and a gal get married and everything that attracts this gal to this guy and this guy to this gal, they first ought to automatically start trying to change it in the other person. Your job is not to fix your husband or wife. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Your job is to pay attention to you. Get that old 2x4 out of your eye. Huh? Well, if he just talked to me different, and I've seen a lot of ladies that spend, they marry a man and then they spend their whole life trying to turn the man into a woman. I'll try and get you back, okay? I saw some of you is drifting here and there. And I love it when you hear somebody say, oh, they just don't understand me. Well, of course they don't understand you. There's never been anybody like you. Huh? They're not supposed to understand you. You're not supposed to understand them. You're unique. You're you. God made you. It's okay to be you as long as you let Him start making you a better you. Okay? But he'll take the core that's down inside of you, because that's what He put there. That's what He'll take when he's making you and conforming you. Well, we got to move on here. I'm just saying that you got to start thinking good things and positive things on purpose. Somebody came to me here a while back, and they started telling me everything that was wrong in their life, everything that was wrong in their marriage, everything that was wrong in their job, everything that was wrong in the church, and everything. And I just sit there and I thought, well, there's no need for me to stop them in the middle of all this, so I just let them go. And man, they went and they went and they went, and seemed like half hour, it might not have been that long, but way into this thing, they finally ran out of breath. And I said, well, man, you've said a lot. I need to digest some of that. But I said, is God doing anything right in your life? I mean, is there anything good? Well, yeah. I said, well, is there anything good in your marriage? Well, yeah, we seem to do this, and we get along here, and we do that. I said, well, is there anything at all good in your job? And well, yeah, and I said, well, is there anything good in your church? And they go, we'll have to think about that one for a while. I said, well, is there anything good? And they said, yeah, there's good. The singing's good, and people smile at me. I said, well, then why don't you think about all the good things instead of thinking about all the bad things? Now, you need to make an inventory. If things are bad, why don't you start thinking about all the positive things? Write them down on a paper if you have to. Put them on a card. You ought to carry a card in your pocket. You got to do something to change your thinking. Fix your mind on good things. I don't care if you got 20 bad ones and only one good one. If you got to think about something, think about the good one. Okay? Now y'all look at me. You heard a baby cry before. My goodness. Holy Spirit's trying to tell you something that'll change your life. Amaze me. I'll be out early in the morning, and God will be talking to me, and I'll be getting this revelation, and I'll just be so excited, a little bird will start tweeting, and I start paying attention to the little bird tweeting over there. Spend some time thinking about some of the good things. Romans 12:2 says this. It says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He goes on to say, so that you can prove what is that good and that perfect and that acceptable will of God. Be conformed. Be transformed. In other words, change your thinking. You know, we need to understand, and I've already said some of this, but we are. You don't just think the way you think now. It didn't just happen since yesterday. We are conformed, and can I tell you something? This world has gotten so negative. Just in the last 2 years, it always was, but now we're seeing it. I love it when somebody says, oh, well, all this stuff's happening now. No, all this stuff was happening. All that God did was stir up the pot so we could see everything that was in the pot. And I don't like it, do you? More hatred, more negative. It doesn't matter what our president would say. There's some avenues that would never give a positive thing. And there's some giving positive things to the ones that they shouldn't even be paying attention to because they're terrible. We live in a negative, negative world. And that starts working on us from the time we're born. Huh? Be careful, don't fall. Well, now, what am I thinking about now? I'm thinking about I'm going to fall. Huh? You better straighten up or you'll end up in the penitentiary. I had teachers tell me that. You know, I tried for a large part of my life to end up there. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I would have, Kenny. I'd been there, man. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus. Huh? I know one guy that teachers told him when he was young. He said, "You know, you're gonna end up in the penitentiary." Well, you know where he's at now. We are conformed. See, we're already conformed, but Paul's saying we need to be transformed. We need to be changed by renewing our mind, by thinking different thoughts. Nothing's going to change your thoughts like this book will change your thoughts. Hmm? Let me just throw something in here. I got time. You can't be positive if you keep staying in a negative atmosphere. Hmm? What you're listening to and who you're hanging around makes a difference with, makes a difference. Better hear me. You can't keep listening to somebody that's negative all the time and never be positive. See, God has a plan in mind for you. And His plan for you is good. His will for you is good. He's put you in this church on purpose because He wants to do some good things in your life. He saved you on purpose because He wants to be big in your life. Jesus did took some awful punishment so we could have some awesome results in our lives. You can't keep listening to somebody that's bad mouthing all the time. They'll make you leave your mate, or they'll make you leave your job, or they'll make you leave your church. We're to be conformed. We're to be fashioned after what God says in His Word here. He won't let me get away from that. Okay. In fact, let me just say something. If you get around people and they're bad-mouthing the church, they're bad-mouthing the things of God, they're bad-mouthing this and that, it's your responsibility to stop them. Ooh, well, that one went over good. Let me read you a verse then. Galatians chapter 6 says, "Brethren, if a man or a woman, if a person is overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you be tempted also." Well, I thought that was if they're committing adultery or something. Well, it is. If they're hanging out at the bar, you ought to try to restore them. But you know what most of it is in Christians' lives? It's listening to people. It's being negative. The Bible, when the children of Israel did it in the wilderness, it was called an evil report. All through the Bible, when Christians did it, it's called murmuring and disrupting the church and disrupting the kingdom. Thing it says there, it says if somebody's doing that, if you catch somebody in their messing up, it said restore them. It doesn't say beat the fire out of them. Doesn't say judge them. It doesn't say send them to hell. It says restore them in gentleness, in love. It might not happen in 30 seconds. But can you put something positive into the conversation? And then there will come a time when you're able to do. Say, well, Hank, that's not that important, just if I'm negative, if I'm talking. Let me tell you how important and how serious it is. Jesus said something one time. He had the little kids here, and he used the little kids to be an example of young Christians, people that have just been saved not very long, that haven't matured very much. And he said, if you cause one of these little ones to fall, it'd be better for you that a milestone be tied around your neck and you'd be thrown into the deep. Don't tell me it's not serious. Huh? Because you can start talking that way to me, and if I hear it in about 30 days, I want to quit. I don't want to be the pastor anymore. Somebody can tell it to you, and the enemy, because of the choices you make, will move you right out of where God wants you and what he's trying to do in your life. Does that make any sense? Well, go ahead and clap, and then everybody think that I'm talking to the one next to you. Okay? And remember, do it kindly. You know, because somebody says something negative, that doesn't mean they're a negative person. It just means they've gotten the habit of thinking the wrong way. Has it ever happened to anybody here? I got my hand up to be the first one. Now put both hands up. If I could get my feet in the air and still stay stationary, I'd do it. But that would be a sight you wouldn't want to see. You hear what I'm saying? Just because somebody's done you wrong, just because somebody's negative, just so somebody's got a bad attitude, been in a crummy mood, that doesn't mean they're a bad person. They are so good that Jesus died on the cross for them. Huh? So, if I don't like you, I better pay a little more attention to you because you're valuable to God, so I better make you valuable to me. Well, is that enough? And don't correct somebody on social media. Hey, social media is great, but don't send them a text. I can text you. I've texted some people. I text a lot. I've texted some really nice things, and people read the text and heard it different. You're going to hear things according to the mood you're in. You're going to read this Bible according to the mood you're in, according to the thoughts you think. If you think God's mean, and you think he's out to get you, and you think he's judging you, and you think he's watching every step you make, so if you mess up, he can swat you, that's how you're going to read everything in here. But if you know how much he loves you and how much he paid for you and what he's done for you and you're falling in love with him and you're spending time with him, everything you read in this book is like a love letter, man. Huh? Well, it is. Where two of us will agree. I'd text somebody, it's been a while back, and I'd text somebody. Well, all we'd ever done was just text back and forth, and I had never really talked with them, and so then one day we came together and we started talking, and I said, and they made a statement to me. Let's see, how was it? They said, well, you're a lot different than I thought. And I thought, well, all I've communicated with them is social media. And I just went, I said, well, you know, I'm the same as I was. You just been hearing wrong. You can text somebody something with a smile. You can Facebook somebody with a smile on your face. And if things aren't going for the good for them, when they read it, they think you're frowning. You hearing me? Well, leave nothing alone. See, you can choose to think the way God wants you to think. You can choose to think good things. God's got blessing for you. God's got love for you. God cares about you. You're important to Him. And that's the stuff you need to be thinking about. There's no need thinking about all you messed up yesterday or a while ago or all the mistakes since I've been preaching this thing, and you're examining yourself and thinking about all the what you've been doing. Oh God, don't get down on yourself. You just get in a habit of doing that. Just turn it around. Say, yep, guilty. I've learned to just tell God I quit trying to make excuses. I quit trying to justify. Y'all will never do that, do you? Well, God, but I was thinking this because, you know, I really had a right to think. I just learned to say, just shut up, Hank. Just shut up. And now I just go, guilty. Guilty. I just go, Lord, I don't want to think that way. Help me change it. And you know what He does? Huh? You know, now I think, actually, some of you might not believe it, but I think the good way more than I think the bad way now. Because I'm working on it. But can tell you, we're all works in progress. And any of you that's already made this, I want to visit you after service. Because I've never got to see an angel, I don't think, in real person. I want to see you. Oh, good. I had to get you smiling again, man. You can't think negatively without affecting somebody. There's always, you know, some of you are called to teach, to preach, to minister. Can I tell you something? You don't even need a mic in your hand until you're leading all the ones around you in the right direction. Because if you get a mic in your hand and you're leading those closest to you the wrong way, you'll just lead them, a bunch more of them, the wrong way. That makes sense? And I want to say something else. Some of you feel a call on your life, and you might not ever have a mic in your hand. But there's people all around you that's watching you, and you're leading them whether you know it or not. I don't ever remember hearing Mother Teresa preach a sermon. But I bet there's millions and millions here and millions in heaven that she affected their life. Huh? I'm just saying, you're leading people, whether you know it or not. Now you need to figure out where you're leading them. Oh, this is so good, I'm going to quit. But I'm just so good, I'd just like to stay here for a month. Well, what you're thinking affects how you act, and people see it. I went into the store here a while back, and a lady came up to me, and she said, "Oh, Pastor Hank," she said, "I watch you on TV all the time. You're such a blessing. You just build me up, and you're such a blessing to me." And then she just stopped and said, "How come you're not smiling?" I said, "Wait a minute." I said, "I'm sorry." I said, "I was just thinking some stuff that had me not smiling, but thank you for telling me all that." I didn't even know it. I don't remember what I was thinking about. Whatever it was, evidently had a frown on my face. And she said, "Oh, you're just such a blessing. I just love to see you. I just love it. How come you're not smiling?" Well, I went into someplace Friday, and I was wondering, there's an older couple sitting over here, and they said, "You can't hide from us. We know who you are." And I was smiling and everything, thank goodness, but I thought, you know, I can't get out here and do anything wrong. Somebody will see me. Somebody's paying attention to you is what I'm saying. You're affecting somebody. God wants us to, He wants us to be blessed. He wants us to live a blessed life. And I know that's what you want, and you want for the people around you. It's what I want for you. So we need to fix our mind then on some things of God. We need to fix our mind on the good things. Every time I hear somebody and they come up and they tell me something bad that happened in a service or something bad that happened in a children's church, I just always now instantly come back and say, yeah, but did you know that a guy came down the altar yesterday and he got filled with the Holy Spirit? Oh, yeah, but did you know there was three that raised their hand and they prayed that salvation prayer? Yeah, but did you know there was four little kids over in that children's church got saved yesterday? What are you gonna think about? Don't poison everybody around you with stinking thinking, okay? Okay, I'm going to close with this. I've read this to you before, but it's so good I want to read it again. It's called Attitude. And I don't know who it's by. And it doesn't really matter. But it says this. The longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on my life. Attitude to me is more important than facts. It's more important than the past, than education, than money, than circumstances. It's more important than failures or successes. It's more important than what people think or say or do. It's more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill. Attitude will make or break a company, a church, or a home. Let me read that again, that one line. Attitude, your attitude, will make or break a company, a church, or a home. That sink in? The remarkable thing is, we have a choice every day regarding the attitude we will embrace for that day. We can't change our past. We can't change the people that will, the fact that people will act in a certain way. We can't change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play the one string we have, and that's our attitude. I am convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I react to it. And so it is with you. You are in charge of your attitude. Well, I hope I've given you something to think about today. And now, if you would, just everybody bow your head and say this little prayer with me. Holy Spirit, help me know what I just heard. I want to please you. I need your help, Lord. I need your help. Nobody's looking. Everybody keep your head bowed. How many in here would say, you know, I think maybe I could work just a little bit on my thinking. If that's you, just raise your hand. Nobody's looking. Don't anybody look. Now, some of you didn't raise your hand. Okay, we're going to give an altar call here in just a minute and for liars. And let me just ask that one more. How many think that maybe you could work, if God would help you, if He would help you, if the Holy Spirit would help you, you could work a little bit on your thinking? How many think it'd be a good idea? How many would say right now, Holy Spirit, help me focus on God. Help me focus on the good things that you're doing in my life. Help me focus on what's right, what's true, what's lovely. I wonder in here before we go, and while your eyes are closed and your head's bowed, how many in here, if you died right now, you know you're saved and you know you'd go be with God? Isn't that a great feeling? Great feeling. Put them down. Nobody look now, because I don't want to embarrass anybody. How many in here couldn't raise your hand because you're not sure if you died right now where you'd go? Thank you, sir. Who else? Who else? Come on. Who else? Thank you, ma'am. Who else? I'm not sure. You're just being honest. Who else? Thank you, sir. I'm not sure. Who else? Who else? God wants you to be sure. He wants you to be sure. I want everybody to stand. We're going to sing just an invitation here, just a song, just a verse. Not going to prolong this all day. But three or four of you raised your hand that you didn't know for sure. And some of you didn't raise your hand, but you wanted to and you just couldn't get it up. So as we sing this verse, I'm going to ask that you just step out and come down here if you really meant it. If you really want to know for sure, just come down. And one of us will just want to spend a minute and pray with you. Because I want you to know for sure. Thank you. So you're being honest. Thank you. Who else? Come on. Come on. You've been at this place before. And the Holy Spirit was pulling you and tugging at you. And you put it off. Don't put it off this time. Don't put it off this time. You don't know for sure. Who else? Come on. Come on. Come on. Some of you that are going to pray with them, come on, and then nobody will know who's coming because God's touching their heart and who's coming to minister. Hey, God loves you. He cares about you. He paid a price for you so He could have you back. So you could know without a shadow of a doubt. Somebody here, your chest is pounding and it's all you can do to keep from stepping out and coming down here. Don't keep from it. Go ahead and step out here. We all had to do it. Come on. If that's you, come on. Hurry. Hurry. Isn't God good? Isn't God good? Praise the Lord. There's still three people here that you don't know for sure. You didn't raise your hand. I think I could come to you and touch you on the shoulder, but I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do it. Don't leave here today. It's when you're feeling this in your heart, this tugging in your heart, that's when you can come to Him, when the Holy Spirit's drawing you. Don't wait. If that's you, you come on. And we're going to close in prayer, but you can still come even as we're closing. Because we want you to know for sure. Everybody in here say, Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life. Whew, you died on the cross for me. Forgive me of my sins. I want to live for you. But I need your help. Whew, isn't He wonderful? Now just raise your hand and tell Him how wonderful He is. Just thank Him for saving you. Thank Him for touching your life. And if you're here and you don't know, even after we dismiss, come on down here. Come on down. I want you to know. Some of you, somebody here, you are saved, but the devil's just fighting you in your mind. I want you to know in your mind for sure when you leave here today, okay? He's just lying to you. He's just lying to you. Hey, thank you for being here today. How many said at the beginning of the service you'd help me this week? Huh? Will you find somebody and invite them to church? How many will do that? How many will try to do that? Okay? How many? This half-mast stuff doesn't get it done. Okay? There we go. If you got your hand up, God's going to make sure somebody comes in your path that you can invite to church, okay? Hey, I speak His blessing on you. I just tell you, you're the most terrific people in the whole wide world. You're the ones that Jesus loves. You're the one that He gave His life for. You are special to Him. Everybody say, I'm special to Him. Everybody didn't say that. Everybody say, I'm special to Him. I'm special to Him. Hey, I love you. Be blessed. Thank you for being here today.